Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year, and it's not even New Year's yet. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Christmas is already gone. But we're here today on the Dr. Cappuccino Show to welcome you because some people are not feeling cheery, they're not feeling merry, not feeling hopeful, and most of all, they're not feeling like anyone cares about them in and through and because of this holiday season. But today on the Dr. Cappuccino Show, we're going to welcome you again and again and again to hear something that most people really need to know, that someone cares about them. You might not even know them. You might not even have had them cross your path. You might not have even read about them. You might not have even thought that there was someone alive besides yourself that cares about you. But we're going to tell you today and show you that there is. So many are saying, you know, I don't know why I'm still living. You know, I wake up, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put both feet on the ground, stand up, you know, hold my hands up and say, yay, yippee-yay, everything is okay. But, you know, I really don't want to keep living. And some are saying they don't want to keep living because no one cares about them. You know, we had this topic last week, starting off topic source one, show one on this, part one on this, and now this is part two because let's be real. There's people out there walking around thinking that, hey, I don't care what I do, I'm going to be sad, and nothing I do is seeming to work, touch, you know, it doesn't seem to turn out right. And I'm broke, I'm busted, I'm disgusted, and no one really seems to care about me. So if this is your general feeling, we want you to hear some perspective of faith. Hey, come on, don't think faith is dead. There's a scripture that says faith without works is dead, but faith is not dead. Hope is still available for those that want to face a new tomorrow, a new tomorrow night, and of course love, because we know whether we're scripture bound or not, love never fails. I don't care what you say, what you do, what you have, what you've lost. If you got love in your heart, there's a good moment coming, a good day coming, a good night coming. If you have love in your heart. So if you're here today listening on this show, hey, let's cut through the chase. You're alive for a purpose. And we have three ways. They're big ways that you can act and live within your divine purpose. If you were born, you have a purpose. Mommy may not have known it. She might have been on alcohol when she conceived you. Daddy might not have known it. He might have been drunk when he helped conceive you. We don't care about that right now. We care about a divine purpose. A divine purpose is different from an earthly purpose. An earthly purpose is something that a person will rise up from youth, go to school, and get a job in that profession. But a divine purpose is a purpose that was already made and created and thought about in heaven the time you were conceived. So a divine purpose never fails like love. Yeah, and I know you're interested in hearing about that. And also, you know, every week we have, most of the time, Colonel William, Dr. Harrison on the line. He joins us from back east, Washington, D.C., and he's always chock full of information. So he's going to help us learn about three ways that a person can act and live within their divine purpose. Now, remember, earthly purpose, it is not about it. You're here and you pass on, you pass through, you pass on, but a divine purpose never dies. Divinity is what we're going to be talking about today. Because without a higher calling, without a higher purpose, we really are nothing. And we're going to show you that someone cares about you. Colonel Harrison, are you on the line this morning?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. I am with you this morning, and belated Merry Christmas to you and your listening audience, and thank you for the invite again as we prepare to close out the year with this last radio talk show for 2018.
Thank you. You know, I'm still celebrating Christmas in my heart. You know, I've read about, you know, the dating this and he wasn't that and he didn't do that. Hey, I'm still celebrating Christmas in my heart. In my heart.
Wonderful.
And we know the divine creator reads all the hearts. So I'm still happy in my heart. But, you know, I want to really say something to help our listening audience. Now, there's a lot of people that just barely made it through. They said suicides were up starting around the 20th, and it's probably still, you know, having a high number that are still taking their lives. But many people are going about to and fro saying they don't want to keep living, and they're showing it because they're taking their lives. And mainly they're saying in this session, part two, that nobody cares about them. Now, I don't know if someone should kill themselves because they think that someone doesn't care about them. I don't care who you are. There's divine affinity there for you. But what do you think, Colonel, when a person feels they want to end their life because no one cares? Is that something that you think should happen? What do you think these people should do that are thinking about taking their life because no one cares?
Well, it definitely should not be happening, Dr. Kopchina and listening audience. Number one, it's not healthy, and number two, it was not the higher power, whether it be God, Jehovah, Allah, or whomever we choose to call him, plan for our lives. There's a purpose and a plan for every person born. And the purpose, if I may use one scripture from an old major prophet, Jeremiah, from the days of the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So there's a purpose because the plan has been laid out for our lives before we were conceived in our mother's womb. And we have to seek that purpose by seeking that higher power, seeking that higher authority. And so those that are unable to do it or don't have the ability to do it need support in helping them to find their way so they'll be able to come to themselves and seek the higher authority and so forth. So I'm thinking that one of the keys we need is support. And that support that I'm talking about has to be grassroots support. It has to be community-based support. And there are more, believe it or not, churches per capita in most cities than there are liquor stores. So that's port base should emanate from the church. It used to, and I think it's still there. But it has to be seek. Church has to go out. People have to come in, and so forth and so on. So I'll pause for a moment.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like a good idea, but there are reports that was made public this past week saying that 6,000 churches have closed, and that was in one particular region. So if 6,000 have closed, it's just a matter of time before whoever or whatever force allowed the 6,000 churches to close become manifest, I guess, in America, nationwide, city, statewide. So that means that a bulk of the institutions that was, as you mentioned, ordained to really look after the welfare of the so-called believer, the human being that's been put in their divine charge. The churches had and have a divine charge to follow in the footsteps of the one called Jesus. I don't know about Allah and the others out there, but I know with this particular God, that son, that they are obligated to become footstep followers. He said, "Be you doers of the word," and of course, not just hearers or listeners only. They've got a divine charge to do it. Now, whether they do it or not, I'm sure some of their ministries are and will continue to suffer if they're not doing that. But overall, these institutions that have been circulating for centuries have now seen exactly what the fruitage is for not following that divine edict. So right now, if we move on to the political institution, if we move on to the mental health institutions, if we move on to the general consumerism institution, we find there are failings. I mean, you put men in office for 2, 3, 4 years, and by the end of 4 years, they're just getting their feet wet. And then now here comes another divisive election, and it goes on and on and on. And in Jeremiah, the scripture says that it does not belong to man to direct his steps. So that means something else, some high power, some high divinity should be out there for them to reach to and grasp. But we promise three ways that individuals can act and live within the divine purpose. And I'm just going to start it off by saying, stand up and say yes to life. That's number one. Just get on up, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how cool it looks. Stand up. There's always someone that will lend a hand. If we see the ones put in charge is not on the charge, then it's not really up to us. But somehow through it, some kind of divinity within, something within. Number one would be to just get on up and anyway, stand in the face of evil. Stand in the face of those that, you know, don't want to help. Stand in the face of those that want to give you a mail today and ignore you the next day. Stand up. Number one, just get on up and stand up. GoFundMe has been very helpful in that people that have need funeral money, burial money, shotgun money, any, all purposes is on display on GoFundMe. So if people want to, and this is number one, want to start to look into their divine purpose, bust in the city hall, bust into these resource centers, bust in filthy, dirty, one-legged, no teeth, bust in and demand as a human being that you get help. Now, it's a statement that two are better than one, but I'm going to say for all of you that feel no one cares about you, you feel that way, find out for real. Colonel Harrison has mentioned this previous, and I've not kind of sided with it. Get up and get out there. Go out there. Hitchhike your way to an office. Crawl if you have to. You're hungry, let somebody on the sidewalk know, I'm on my way to City Hall, and I'm just about to starve to death. Someone is going to help you. I know for a fact, and I'll leave that as that. So number one, get on up. Feel anyone care about you, then just pat yourself on your shoulder. It's number one. I care about me. The mama that had me care about me. Whether she did or not, I'm here. My daddy, I don't know about him. Whether he did or not, I don't care. But right now, I'm going to stand up for myself. That's number one. Just get on up and stand. How about you, Colonel? What can we use number two with?
Yeah, number two, Dr. Constantine, I'd said, go forth. And I like to respectfully tie it into the scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. I have commanded you, and I am with you always until the end of the world. There used to be a street ministry. Street ministries where ministers, pastors used to preach on street corners. The churches that are shutting down, unfortunately that's happening, but for whatever reason it's shutting down. But there's no reason why those of us who are ministers, those of us who are evangelists, those of us who believe in being our brother's keeper, we can go forth as the second step to assist those out there in need. Seek them. Find out who they are. Follow this great commission that I just read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. And I'll pause, Doc.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Go you therefore. But you know what? He wasn't talking to the general man on the sidewalk. He was talking to seasoned vets in the ministry.
That's right.
Those that had already said, for God I live, for God I die. These were seasoned people that were trained all manners of ministry on a day-by-day basis for 3 years by the time he said that. But that didn't have anything to do with the beggar man on the side of the road. It didn't have anything to do with the woman walking veiled with 2, 3 children. Could not beg because of custom. You beg, you die. So we're talking about this morning, those beggar men, we'll call them beggar men, that feels that they don't want to keep living. Nobody cares about them. So we mentioned one. So number two, I was just listening to what you were saying about the way they can act in their divine purpose. They can, I mentioned number one, go get up, just get up. You know who they are and if they're helpful or not. Just stand up, dirty as they are, sad, broke, busted, and disgusted. Just stand anyway, anyway, just stand. You're going to get some kind of help. If you can't drive yourself or get on a bus or go to the places that claim they're resourceful, somebody will take you there. Just keep walking east. That's what I tell everyone. Just keep walking east, looking just like you are. Someone's going to slow down, pull over to the curb and stop. I'm a living witness, and ask you if they can do anything for you or whatever it is. It will happen if a person is determined in his heart to make that effort. Stand, whether you feel someone cares about you or not. You care about you. You care about you. Everyone was created with a talent. You care about you. So number two, and we touched on the go ye therefore crowd. Number two, when you feel you don't want to keep living, tell yourself you're going to live just because you're going to live. I don't know why I'm living. I don't know why no one cares about me living. I don't know what I'm going to do if I keep living. I don't know why I should keep living, because not only do nobody care about me, they don't seem to want to help me learn how to care about me. I'm going to just keep on living anyway. No food, no teeth, nothing. I'm just going to keep living anyway. I don't even care. I'm going to keep living anyway. I think that should be number two, an inner resolve that no matter what, I don't need to be validated by someone caring about me because I can care about myself. I don't need to be validated because I might not have the right clothes or the right shoes, or I might not look all that well. I might not have both my eyes. I don't care. What I do have about me, I'm going to cherish that. Might be black, scarred. I'm going to somehow develop that inner resolute that I'm going to get up. It's like the French Revolution. They got up anyway. They were told, yeah, just eat your cake. They got up. I can get up. It means I can get up. And if we talk about scripture, there was a man for years wallowing around the city gates until a man, hey, this man was called Jesus Christ. He came up and he said, take up your cot and walk. Get up. Get up and get out of here. And he was infirmed. So that meant that there was some inner resolute there. He told him, take up your cot and walk. So second, I'm going to say, if you feel you don't want to keep living, hey, because nobody cares. Somebody brought him to the gate every day. Get up. Jesus said, get up. Your mama would say, get up. Your daddy would say, get up. Get up. Take up that cot, whatever's in the cot, whatever your cot represents. Who knows what your cot represents? Whatever your cot represents, just get on up. Now, thirdly, Colonel Dr. Harrison, you wrote a book. Now, if anyone would not want to keep living, it might be those that might would say, oh, my God, you know, I have a book in my hand, and this book is about chaotic living and chaotic community living and chaos in the world. My God, maybe I'm on the right track. Maybe I should think twice about just moving forward because, hey, like I said, like I told you, like I feel, like I know, like I heard, nobody cares about me. But now with your book, is there any hope for someone that might be suicidal, that have lived 30, 40, 50 years with no hope, no hope for tomorrow? Is there anything in your very graphic and very well-written book that would help someone that's feeling like, hey, I don't want to go on. This is the last day. Do you have anything in your book, sir?
Yes, Dr. Cappuccino. With respect to hope, hope is, if foundation of things that we have not realized that we hope to receive. Sometimes we hope to achieve. Hope gives us encouragement. It gives us drive. It gives us determination. It gives us resolution. And so in the book, it speaks of hope with regards to people from all walks of life working together, the community, the local-based community working together with the local law enforcement authorities to eradicate crime and to reduce the potential for civil unrest, civil disobedience, and riots and those kinds of things. And in order for that to work, the people have to come together with a plan, again, going back to that. And with that plan, having hope that I can work together with law enforcement, having hope that I can live in peace with my neighbor, having hope that I can be an example in my community and willing to help others, hope gives us inspiration to continue on, to strive and not become discouraged. And so the offshoot of hope is faith. Faith comes first, and faith brings hope. Faith is belief and trust in the fact that there is a superior being and that I can make it. And once I believe in that, then I have hope that my power, my action, my support group, whoever, family, whomever, community-based, church, whatever, will help me get to the next level. So hope gives us inspiration not to give up, but to hold on and to move forward and press on and push on.
What if someone doesn't have that resolute? Say the advice is good and they're listening, but they just don't seem to have that resolute. Is there anything in your book that would encourage them, maybe a story from it, that there's no need to give up? Is there anything in there that would lead someone to say, you know what, I read half the book, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I'm going to help eradicate some of this neighborhood chaos, community chaos, city chaos.
Yes, if one is not don't have the feeling, don't have the determination, don't have the drive to empower themselves from within because they have low self-esteem, the book speaks to coming together with others. You got to reach out. People perish with a lack of knowledge. So people have to reach out to others, and they got to find something within themselves, gumption or something, that will stir them up and cause them to reach out to somebody, their next-door neighbor or relative or someone at the corner store or 7-Eleven or whatever. Got to reach out to someone and not just give up, because if they don't reach out, then that's why a lot of people become withdrawn, become depressed, and thus they tend to take their own lives. Some attempt to take their own lives. But the people got to reach out, and the people in the community got to reach back and check on their neighbors, find out what's happening, why I haven't seen them, where is he, and go knock on the door and provide assistance, provide food, provide a range of counseling, give a few dollars, whatever needs to happen, Doc. Each way, the person has to reach out, and the people in the community and family has to reach back in.
Now, you have a church there in the D.C. metropolitan area. In your church, do you see or counsel, and I'm going somewhere with this, do you see or counsel individuals that come there under the office of faith, a Christian faith, that feeling dejected and down and feeling that no one cares about them? If you have people that come in, and I would imagine you would, because there are studies that show the depressives, manic depressives, those that can't seem to get it together, the broke, those that one step from the street, from the being thrown out of wherever they're at, those are the type of people that studies show is sitting in the churches. They said you don't find the rich sitting in there because they don't have to buy a sermon to make them feel good. They feel good on their own. So do you have people that you counsel and you tell them if they come to you, oh, just go reach out to a community resource. Well, I feel I'm going to kill myself. Oh, well, you need to go reach out to your neighbor and see if your neighbor can help. What counsel do you give your congregants, or do you have people that come there, since millions are suffering, do you have them that come there, and what kind of counsel do you give them? They're coming there to you dejected and sitting through a 1 hour sermon or whatever it is. I mean, do you give them the advice, okay, going back out the door and try to find somebody that can help you stay alive? I mean, what counsel do you give? I'm very curious.
I give spiritual counseling, Doc, and that spiritual counseling, let me say this, the church, the hospital is a place for sick people who have medical illness. The church is a place
for
people.
Jesus said? Hold it. Is that what Jesus said? Did Jesus say that the synagogue was a hospital? Did he say the tabernacle was a hospital? Did he say the temple was a hospital? Back then in the days that he roamed the earth, walked the earth, those places were places of instruction. I don't remember him, and I'm just saying this because we want our readers to really understand what time of day it is, because if I'm suicidal, I need some help. I need some real help, something that's going to work. I don't want a Band-Aid put on any pain. I want something that works. So now I've heard that before. Ministers say, oh, well, come on in the church, the hospital. Well, if they don't have any operating utensils, I don't know about that. If they don't have a sick man, a sick woman bed for them to lay in, I don't think that. I think the church was called a place of prayer, not a hospital. So if these people are saying the church is a hospital, that is not scriptural, and it certainly did not come out of Jesus Christ. If we're talking Christianity and then Jesus Christ, so I know I didn't hear you say that, but if we can say the church is a hospital, then Jesus did not say that. His father said it would be a house of prayer. So can you clear that for the listening audience?
Yes. Yes, let me say this again, Doc. Respectfully, I hadn't completed my thought. I said a hospital is a place for people who are medically ill. That's what I said. Secondly, I was leading to the church as an institution here to help people, not only spiritually but socially. If they have a problem, if they need food, here we feed them. If they need clothes, we clothe them. If they need something to drink, we give them water or something to drink, and we counsel them in regards to their need. We try to meet them at their need, and if we don't have in-house resources beyond the simplest of resources, then we reach out to other social services agencies and tap into them and get resources to help the person that is in need. So if we find that they need counseling, whatever type of counseling, I counsel them, I arrange for counseling, or I may arrange for a deaconess to counsel a female, depending upon the nature of her problems, or vice versa. But we don't just turn them away. We provide help. We provide assistance. And so that's what the church is for.
No. I'm not talking about you and your church and what you do specifically. I'm talking about the whole blanket of churchology, Christianity, or what churchology then. I wasn't just talking about what you do, and it wasn't anything to kind of like, you know, dump on you. I was asking a general question, and I know most ministers are not doing what you do there at your place of worship. They just are not doing it. They are closed except for two 3 hours a week. But you know what? We got 60 seconds, and we're going to move on with this part three. We're going to carry this on because we know the church is used for certain things, and now they got an ordinance that anybody counseling anybody in a church must have a 2-year degree. That goes for deacon, deaconess, all of them. It's on the books right now because they say they're leading people astray. Now, if they want to talk to them, if Jesus said teach them, he didn't say counsel them. And the city here in L.A. is coming up with an ordinance because too many of these church people are coming out, you know, not well. Thank you for tuning in here in Dr. Cappuccino and Colonel Dr. William Harrison. See you next week on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Don't forget, 8 a.m. next week, same time, same station, Dr. Cappuccino Show. Thank you. Have a great weekend.